I wonder, I was going to tell you for a start, how far, because there's a gentleman in top where I go down to once a week coffee and he comes up here. Well, he's going all over the place. I think he's writing a book about Toft. You know, he goes to the Cambridge colleges and to find these old books out, you see. Well, I used to write a bit in his magazine. He puts a magazine out once a month. Well, I used to write in there. Well, I went out of steam. I couldn't think of the more. Well, what he wanted to know, about that old mill up there, because I can remember the plum trees used to be standing around there, and I can remember the old timber laying on the side there. I sent word down to him yesterday, but he never come up this morning to ask him if he knew when that mill was last working, you see. But I haven't seen him. And there used to be another mill up here. That used to go by engine, that one did. Mm-hmm. Yes, but the furthest I can go back, I only had one brother, and I was 2 years older than what he was. Well, I remember they had a parson here once. And he got married. When he come back on his honeymoon, they took his horses out and pulled the carriage up the front door. Well, my brother was 2 years younger than me. Well, I was in little knickers them days. Well, he was in petticoats, so you know he wasn't very old. Well, I can remember that. That's as far as I can go back. You know, because I couldn't have been about four or five. But the rectory up there, I think that was about a year old, I think, when they was building that, so I can't think much about that. No.
Tell about the roads, what they were when you were a little lad.
Terrible. There used to be an old roadman. He used to have the wheel of granites on the road, and the horse and carts used to put them in. That's how they got them in them days. Yes. That's how they used to get them in.
Were they the same roads?
Same old roads, yes. I went on the road about 1920, I should think. And I'd only been on there 2 years before they made me foreman. Well, I've had 60 and 70 men under me. I've been all around here for miles on these roads. When I first started, I boked. Oh, I think it's 12 miles away from here. Bite. And when I got home that night, my wife said, how'd you get on? I said, I'm going to have a fortnight there. I said, I'll finish that job because I wasn't used to it, you see. Do you know, we're 38 years there. Yeah, that's what I had. 38 years. Yes, and they gave me a good pension and I didn't pay anything in for it either. I should think if I hadn't lost the wife, I should have been working on this road now, part-time, mind you. Yeah. Yes.
Now, before you became a foreman, what did you do on the road?
For a year and a half, I was a fruit foreman in some big orchards, a place called Kingston. Mm-hmm. Of course, and then the war was... That come before that, you see. So when I come out of the war... I come out of the war, as soon as the war finished. But after I got wounded on the 21st of March, 1918. Well, I got back to England. I went in King George's Hospital, London. And then I went on to convalescent in Middlesex, a place called Isleworth. That's where I disgraced myself a bit. I was on crutches. You've heard talk about Kew Gardens, ain't you? Have you?
Yeah.
Well, when you went out of the back of that hospital, there was a little old window there. Well, I'd got the old knack of, you know, getting out of there and getting in late at night. Well, I went out one night. We were supposed to be in by 9 o'clock. Well, I picked up with some young lady. She took me to some big gala. I didn't know where it was, where she took me. But she seemed to have plenty of money because she ordered a car to get me back there again. It was half past 10 at night. I went to get in this little window. It was all right. It was about as high as this outside, but down the bottom, it was about a foot lower, you understand. Would I drop one of my crutches? Whew. The night porter come running there. The next morning, I had to go from the matron, And some bloke said, you'll get shot. And I went in the room where the old matron was. She sat on a big table, got a little nurse beside her. So I got talking to her, and she said, oh, you come from Cambridge? And I said, yes. Well, I come from Cambridge, she said. I said, do you? And she said, yes. Well, I got talking around her all right. So she said to me, Mr. Sparks, she said, will you promise me you'll never go through that window again? Of course, I said yes. And I got all scotch-free. It's all right, you can go now. Yeah, that's how I got out of there. Yeah. Well, then I had to report back to a town called Bury St. Edmunds. Well, I was marked C3 star. Well, that wasn't much good. You should have been A1, you see. So I was going in the orderly room to report, and I happened to, officer I knew out in France, he was over there, been wounded. He said, hello, Bert. He said, that's my name, Bert. He said, what are you doing here? I told him. He said, well, my father wants somebody to go on his farm. Well, I said, I don't know a lot about farm work. He said, you'll do, just like that. He said, you'll probably be here, he said, another week, and then you'll be going over there. So, do you know, I ride there on a Sunday, I think it was, at Cambridge Station. Well, his shepherd come and met me, and he took me to my lodgings. And there was a big fair on at Cambridge. Big fair it was, and I used to love to go to theatres as well. There was a good theatre on there too. So I'd only been there 2 nights, and I said to the landlady, I'm going to the theatre tomorrow night, and then I'm going to the fair. I'd only been there 2 nights, and she said, you won't get in the theatre. I said, why? She said, you'll have a ticket to get in there. I said, well, I'll try, or something like that. I said, I shall be home tomorrow night at 5 o'clock. Well, I used to do a bit of cycle racing in them days, and I got my father, and they sent me 2 suits of clothes over there, you see, and this bicycle. I got home one night at 5. She just got off her bicycle. And she said, I'm sorry, Bert. She said, I haven't got your tea ready yet. Well, I said, I'll have a wash and shave and dress up. I said, I'll have my tea afterwards. So she said, do you know where I've been? I said, no. I've been down to the theatre to get 2 tickets. She said, I'm a coming. I said, well, that was me. She said, I am. I'd only been there 2 nights. I don't think we'll go any further with that. yeah. Another interesting thing I was going to tell you about. Now, I have a farmer coming every Saturday night. He lives on his own like I do. And he's got a car, well, I ain't, so we go out Sunday nights, you know, and he comes in, he brings a bottle of beer. Well, he's got 2 farms, one at Toff and one at a place called Ardwick. Well, he pulled all his old buildings down up here. Well, there was one barn there. Now, he come here last night. Well, there was a man named John Bunyan, have you heard talk of him? And Spurgeon. They preached in that barn once. So I don't know if that might interest you, but the barn's pulled down. Yes, so I wrote that down last night when he was in here. Well, we was talking when we was going on the road. He said Bunyan and Spurgeon, they both preached in there, in that old barn. Because there's been a man from America over there to see about that barn. Of course, that's pulled down now. Yeah.
Yes, I know John Bunyan.
Yes.
Don't know the other one.
Oh.
How far is the barn?
That's pulled down now.
But how far was it then?
Well, I can show you where it was. I'll tell you what's happened now. He's had a bungalow built. They're in the old farmyard. There's another man bought that, but the old building's facing the road. He's still letting them stand up there. And he's got a house built in the middle of the stockyard. If we got time, I'll take you up there and show you. Yeah. Well, we perhaps shall have time. Yeah. Well, when I left school...
How old were you when you left school?
Well, I believe I was the first one to pass in number 6 standard, if you know what that is.
No.
Well, you had to pass an exam, you see, but I got a good old schoolmistress. She stood behind me all the time, but I passed anyway. Now,
were you 12 or 11?
Oh, no, I was 13, I think. Uh-huh. 13, yes. Well, my father, there's a big house down there in Top Church. My father worked down there about 50 years. When I first left school, I went there to clean silver. That's what I done. Well, I didn't stick that long. He got about 5 or 6 sermons there. That didn't suit me at all in there. Well, then I come out and I went to work for a coal merchant for a little while. I didn't go out on the road. I weighed the coal up in the yard and used to milk a cow or two, and, you know, like that. Now, where do I go to? Oh, and then I went on for a builder for some years. Well, of course, the war broke out. And I went there. You see, you've got to go from 1914 there to 18. You see, there was a war all the time. You see, that's how it was. Yeah. I think I'm about right on what I'm telling you there. Yeah.
And during the war, you went to France. Did you stay all the time in France?
I went to France the 5th of February 1915. That's when I went out there. Yes, that's when I went out there.
And did you got wounded? Did you get wounded there?
I got wounded 1916 the first time. And the second time I got wounded in 1918. March the 21st, 1918, when the Germans made the big offensive. That was the last one they made. Yeah. And I had my horse shot under me. I was General's groom then. That's what I was then. And I went through a field. Well, I didn't stand upright because there was thousands of bullets there. And I was all blood. And I went creeping along this big field. And the English and the Germans was fighting one another with picks and shovels. And I went right through the lot. Yeah. Yeah, and that's how I got home to England. Yeah.
Now, did you start working on the road soon after the war?
No, I went on that fruit farm for 2 years.
Yes.
Then I went on the road.
And you worked for 2 years there before you became a foreman?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And when you were a foreman, what did you ask the men to do? Tell
them. Oh, that's myself. I had one place where I was, I had about 35 German prisoners with me. So you've got a job on to tell you what I'm going to tell some of them, I'll tell you. Yeah. Yeah. But they were some nice chaps. I got a photo of some of them in there now. Yes, and they was... Well, some of the best fellas I ever had, but some weren't worth coming there. You know, I never used to see someone all the time go home at night. They used to be two lorries, bring them in the mornings and take them back at nights. But I used to like them anyway. Yeah.
When did you start in the morning?
Oh, I used to leave here soon after 6. Yeah, soon after 6. Yeah.
And they finished at?
5. Finished at 5. Yeah. They was in a big house. It's a place called Everton. Well, that's in Bedfordshire. Because I went for all where I was working. You don't know Crocs and Elsley. You don't know them places, do you? And that's when I was working. Going, making new roads right through the woods. Yeah. Yeah.
And were the prisoners, German prisoners of war there?
Yeah.
They
was all in a big camp, you see. Uh-huh. Yeah. And we were short of men. We had them. Well, they had to do some work, you understand. But they were some of them chaps, damn good chaps, but some weren't worth it. Oh, dear. Oh, dear. Yeah. But I got on well with them because they used to bring their rations. We couldn't get many rations them days, you know, after war. Well, they'd perhaps bring a big old tin of tea and sugar and what they had left to end the week. They all used to come to Bert because I used to give them a little bit of money, you know. And I got on well with them. Yeah. But there's some of the tales I didn't tell you on here anyway.
Tell me now.
Now, you're a gentleman, I got one of these things one day. That ain't going on what I'm saying now, is it? Yeah. And the poor knit sea one. Mm-hmm. And he said to me, what do you think of that? Well, I'll tell you what I'd done. I used a swear word, because I'd never seen one before. 2 days after that, he come here. He put that thing on because that was me a swearing there. Cool, dear, oh dear. Yeah. Because I'd never see one of them. No. Different. Well, if you'd been to Tolt now, if you'd been to Tolt then and come back now, well, you wouldn't know it because there's about 200 new houses here now, what there was. Yes. Now, I've been in this house 40 years when this was put up, this one. Them houses over there, because they were standing when I was born, over there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were standing. And there were several been pulled down. Because up the, where the old Blackman shop used to be, there was one in there. Well, that's pulled down. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you what else there used to be at top. There used to be two carriers. What took people to Cambridge on a Saturday? There used to be two shoemakers, as I can remember. There used to be about, what I should think, they was over 20 farm labourers. Well, now there's only one in the village. Now, and I should think there used to be 50 milking cows. I question, well, there's one in the village. Now.
Yeah, it's quite different.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
But that was 80 years ago.
Yeah.
There used to be a pub just over the road.
That's called the Black Bull. Mm-hmm. Used to be. One up top's called the Red Lawn. Because that one's done away with down here. Yeah. Yeah.
Now, what was the pub like here that has been burnt down?
Oh, that was all right. Of course, they were two different brewers, you understand, what made the beer. They always used to reckon that beer was best. Then we used to have a fair, what they call a feast, come every year. On the 29th of May it used to come. Well, one year they'd have stalls on that green. I don't know whether you've noticed that when you come by.
Yeah.
Used to have stalls and swings on there. Well, they'd be dancing up that top pub one year. The next year that'd be down here, you understand? Well then, I've seen men come out of that pub 7 o'clock in the morning, been dancing all night. Oh, they used to have some good old dudes, because the feast don't come now. That's all done away with. No. No.
When was the last feast?
Well, I can't exactly tell you that. But several years ago now, anyway. Several years ago. At Bourne, they used to have a big feast there, because there's none come there now. Used to be roundabouts and everything else come there. I could tell you a tale about that, but I don't think I ought to.
Tell.
Well, when I had this big gang of men, I had several people from Bourne working with me, so they come on over that night. It was Bourne feast, you see. Well, I used to ride a motorbike. Well, I said to my missus when I had my tea, I said, "I got no hot water, I won't ever shave." She said, "Where are you going?" I said, "I'm going to Bourne Feast." She said, "You ain't going to ride that motorbike." So I went on a push bike. Well, because I happened to all these men there, we went in the pub and got a little bit merry, and then went down the fair, got on the roundabouts, and then I come back and had my supper. I know what we had for supper, fish and chips. When I come outside, of course the air got hold of me, I was all over the place. So they walked along the road with me about half a mile, I should think. And they said, "Whatever you did, don't try and get on that bike." Well, I kept trying, but I couldn't get on with it. When I come over that railway bridge, there's a railway bridge along there. When I come over there, there's a big old stony at the bottom of this bridge, and I got to sit down on there. I could see a light a coming, and there is my wife coming to look for me with a lantern in her hand.
Yeah. Yeah.
When did you get your first motorbike?
Oh, that was after the war. I had five altogether. That was after the war anyway, when I had the first one. Yes, that was after the war. Yeah. I had four second-hand ones, and the last one was the new one. But that was the cheapest. The new one was. Yeah. And I kept it 2 years, and I made more money of it than did when I bought it. And I got the mileage in that barn new. How many miles that went? Yeah. That was a BSA, that's what it was, last one I had. Yeah.
Now, before motorbikes, you had bikes.
Push bike, yeah.
Yes.
Yes, and now if they go a mile, they have a lorry to take them in now. And I bike 15 miles on a push bike and get there at 7 in the morning. Yes, I've done that no end of times.
Now, what was a push bike like?
Push bike? Yeah. You've got no ordinary bicycle, don't you? Ordinary
bike. Yeah, but the tires.
Well, I've Dunlop tires on it. Dunlop tires. Uh-huh. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, I've got it still.
Not the cushion tire.
No. I remember when I first see a cushion tire bicycle, that was many years ago. And I can tell you the name of a man what had the first three-wheel bicycle. He didn't come on top, though. His name was Freddie Watts. That was a three-wheel bicycle. You know what that is, don't
yeah.
you? Where you don't pedal. Going down the hill, you see you stop pedaling, away you go. You see? Yeah. Yeah. Oh, Well, I don't know how many push bikes I ain't had in my time. No end. Yeah.
Now, can you remember the carriage carts coming to the village?
The what?
The carriage carts.
Yes, and I can tell you the name.
Yes.
I can tell you the names. Daniel Creek, that was three. John Chapman. Alfred Williamson. Those are the three carriers. Yeah. Two of them used to live down here. The other one lived up in that pub. His name was Chapman. Yeah.
And they took people to Cambridge.
They took people to Cambridge Wednesdays and Saturdays. Yeah. Yeah.
What was the cart like?
Well, it all got tops on so you couldn't get wet. Yeah. I think they used to take you there for about sixpence and bring you back. Now I think it costs. Well, I got a cheap ticket to go down, all old age pensions. I'll show you one in a minute. Now, I go down there and return for 16p.
Yes, it's 16p a single.
Now, Sam, if you got on the bus, you'd be double.
Yeah.
I'll show you the ticket when I go down. Well, that's all the old age pensioners, if they like to apply for a ticket, go and get one. When I was a boy, there was me and my brother, father, wife, all in the choir. If we was all in the choir, and I had a trial once for King's College, Cambridge. I did, because I could sing like a nightingale. Yeah, well, I can do it pretty well, but not like I could.
No. Was it a chapel choir?
No, church.
A church.
Yes, church. And I could tell you another thing, chapel and church, when I went to school, they had a bit of a row. Well, the chapel and church didn't mix very well. So the chapel people brought their chapel children away and put them in this here chapel here, made a school there. Well, that little orchard over there used to be the playground in them years. And the old schoolmistress, she went with the chapel people, her name was Mrs. Veal. Yes, I'm going back somewhere now. Yeah, I am. Yeah.
And the church school is the only one left now.
Well, there ain't no school here now, because they all go to Compton College, you see. You passed it when you was coming along the road. Yes, coaches come over, about three coaches every morning collect children, take them to Compton College. I think there's 500 or 600 go there at that college. Then they've got two more schools at Cummerton. One's a private school, another one's for infants, you see. And I think they had to go in the college when they get about 8 or something like that. Yeah.
But you went to the church school.
I went over here. Yeah. This church school here, yeah. Yeah. Yes, I went there.
Where did you leave then?
When I was about 13.
Yes, I mean, where did you leave? Not in this house?
Oh, no. No. My house, where I was born, was pulled down. And my old mother and father, well, old top used to belong to a gentleman named Beldam. Well, my father used to be sort of coachman, you know, and gardener for him. And we come up here. I think I was about 2, I should think, when I come up here. That old house over there, and that's still empty now, that house is. Yeah.
Were your parents born here in Tottenham?
No. Father was. Mother was, but she was born in another place called Little Toft.
Where is Little Toft?
Well, I can't explain it to you really, being you're a stranger, but
Is it on the other side of Cambridge?
No, it's still, you had to go to Ardwick Wood. Well, then you had to go side the wood, down Caldecott Drift. There's a little Toft, but all you can see where the old excavations used to be. That's all you can see now. That's where I first put my bit in the magazine. That was about that, because this man, Jeffries, he's getting all little bits like this. I reckon he's writing a book about Toft. I should be surprised if he popped in here, because I sent word down to say he was coming. And I told him between 3 and 4, you see. Yeah. Yeah.
Little Toft is not far from here, is it?
Well, you wouldn't get there under a mile and a half, anyway. Now, I've heard my mother say there used to be 6 houses there, and they used to walk over a mile to get a pile of drinking water. Yeah, they did. And she was 95 when she died, and my father was 86 when he died. Yeah.
Was your wife born here?
No. She was born at a place called Boxworth.
I know. Near Elsass.
That's right. Oh, you know that, do you? Mm-hmm. Her name was Bath. Mm-hmm. That was her name. Yeah. I used to be a bit of a lad when I was single. I come rolling down there one morning, that was 2 o'clock in the morning. Of course, my father and mother, they was in bed, like. And he called out, he said, "Is that you, Bert?" I said, "Yeah." He started swearing. He said, "If you don't get married," he said, "you're going to land yourself in jail." Yeah, they're the words he said. I had started courting a bit. So when they pulled the old Cambridge jail down, that was in the paper, anybody going to look round if they wanted to, you know. I said to him, "I'm going to have a look round there." Well, he said, "I'm coming with you," because he used to ride a bike. Well, of course, we had a good look round. I couldn't find the room where they hung the people, you know, the old where they used to hang them. You know what I mean by that, don't you? Well, I see a man in uniform, and I went and asked him where the room was. He said, "Go down that corridor," he said, "the first one on the left." Well, I went down there, shoved the door open. There was the place up there where they used to put the cord like, you know, put it around his neck. And there was the trap doors where he used to stand on. I opened one of these here doors, and they were 10 steps down there. See, when these here doors opened, he used to drop down there. See, he dropped 10 feet. So I opened the other door. My father said to me, he said, "You're never going down there, are you?" I said, "Oh, I am. You told me once I should get in jail." I said, "I've never been in here." Yeah. When do I get married now? I got married in April 1919. That's when I got married. Yeah. That's when I got married. And I had one of the best wires was ever walked. And I never give her a week's pay once. There you are. Not once. No. I knowed everything was all right, you know what I mean. I used to have a lot of ground because I used to make enough money to keep me in cigarettes and different things, you know. Yeah. Yeah.
Now, you said that there were two blacksmiths.
One blacksmith.
One blacksmith. Uh-huh. Did you go to the blacksmith's shop?
Hundreds of times.
Could you tell what it was like?
Hundreds of times. I used to have an old anvil, make horsey shoes and them things. And then there used to be a builder named Warboys. The blacksmith shop belonged to him. Yeah. Could I work for him a little while? Yeah. Yeah.
Now, what were the blacksmith's tools?
Oh, hammer, pinchers. Well, all sorts of tools. All depends what sort of work he got to do, you understand? Yeah.
And he shoed all the horses
around. He shoed all the horses. I should think there used to be 30 horses here, perhaps more. What you call heavy horses, you understand? Now all you find about young ladies got ponies and nags. That's all you find about here now. Do you know they're making here £200 and £300 each? Ponies are for these ladies right about here now. Yes, that they are.
They were working horses.
Yes, yeah. Yeah.
Then you see, were there two shoemakers then?
Yes.
Were they called cobblers? Cobblers?
Yeah, both named Creek.
Uh-huh.
Now, I've dug a few graves in my time, you know, in the churchyard. Well, this man Creek up here, his wife died. He married again, you know, late in life. He got two grown-up daughters up there and three grown-up sons, I think. They used to still live up here. Well, he went to a place called Oxford. Now, I'm going to tell you something now. I don't know whether it's going to be on there or not. But I dug his grave. That was going to be 10:30 in the morning, you understand? So, of course, I started the afternoon before. Well, I ain't got far down before the hole fell in. I knowed it was going to fall in because I got two coffins both sides of me. I nipped up there and told them what had happened. They said, put him where you can get him. Well, I started on another grave. I got down there about 4 feet. Of course, there weren't no torches about them days. You had little bits of candle sticking aside. I got down there about 4 feet. I got my jacket and waistcoat laid up top of this grave. And I heard something, a funny noise. I'll tell you how it went. It went, like that. So I thought, well, all right, innit? I lit a cigarette, started again, why this noise come. I got out of the grave, took a shovel with me and walked round the church. Couldn't see nothing, couldn't hear nothing round there. My brother come round there, he heard what a mess I was in. You see this grave falling in. He said, shall I give you a hand? I said, you'll be filling that other one in, you see. I got down in this other grave, he started working there like anything for about 3 or 4 minutes. Then he had what they call a wind, you know, stood still. He heard this noise. He threw his shovel down, and away he went. Well, I thought, so well, I didn't. I had another go at it. All at once, I said, I said, kept going. I got out of the grave, lit another cigarette, and I thought to myself, if it never gets finished, I'm going home. And what do you think happened there? I'm going to make you laugh now. I went to get my jacket and waistcoat. They laid on top of this grave. And that was the biggest old tomcat you ever see, laid in there fast asleep. Yeah. Cool. Talk about giving me a turn. Yeah, that's great. Yeah. That's all been in the magazine, that is. That's all been in there. Yeah. Yeah, now...
Didn't you find it a difficult job to dig these graves?
Do you not?
I mean, weren't you afraid of...
No. No. But I got very frightened there one night, one Saturday night. I used to go and light these fires in church. There were these two old-fashioned big old coke stoves. Used to go and light them about four and go around again about 7:30, you know, stoke them up. Well, there's a big wire door where you go in the porch. Well, I used to leave that about like that when I come here, in the winter time, mind you. Then when I went in there again at 7:30, I don't know if anybody had been in there. You know what I mean. I went round there this particular night. Cold atmosphere, the wind was blowing. Oh, it was terrible. I used to wear a leather coat for motorbiking. But I only used to take a little old bit of candle with me. I couldn't get this blooming bit of candle to light now for wind and snow, you see. I found this door open. Well, of course, then you had to go in another door to get in the church. Well, of course, I could not get this bit of candle light. I went like this here, find where the door was, you see, because it's pitch dark. Caught, I drew my hand down a woman, stood again the door. Whew, dear, talk about give me a turn.
What was she doing then?
Well, she was suffering from what they call religious mania, if you know what that is. She was a very high person. Well, I expect that got the better of her. Well, I kept messing about. Well, I got this bit of candle alight. I see she got a little black hat on, and she was like kissing the church doors. I say she was. I said, ain't she going to speak? I never got no answer. And there's a terrible big flood out there that night, because there used to be a big flood down toward them time of day. Well, I took hold of her neck and took her out on the road. And I just went like this, not very hard. She went in there and I took 3 men to get her out of that flood. I nearly got summers over there. I had to go and beg pardon over that. Yeah, well, that was enough to frighten anybody, wasn't it? That was, yeah. Now, you've heard me talk about magazines, ain't you? Well, that gentleman what comes up here and I go and see him, he gets them out every week, every month. He does all that sort of thing. And that is, that's one of the big tip-top schools, that is.
Harrow.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Every week. Mm-hmm. You know, to eat, Saturdays. And I'd take them vegetables down. Because they don't go in the vegetables, not only flowers. And they live in what they call a cedar house. Made of all cedar wood. Yeah.
What's that?
All wood, no bricks. Yeah, they're here nearly every day. They call in here, but I had a lady. They've had a doctor living there, and her mother for a few days. Well, they've been putting nearly all the time up here with me. Doctor come up here yesterday. She did. She's only about 30, I think. I think she's always telling her tales, worse than what I'm putting in there. She had about a hour yesterday morning. She's going back today. I think she said that was a 4 hours drive where she was going. And her mother, she was going back as well. She was going in Lancashire, a place called Oldham. That's where she lives. Yeah. Yeah.
You said there were floods here.
Yes, down that bottom. I think they used to be as deep as that. Very often when these carriers come through here on a Saturday night, because they used to be loaded, there used to be another horse to put on the front to help them get through the flood. Yes, all along that Kingston Road, all down the bottom. Of course, there are roads to put. I rose at 3 feet when I was on the road. So you get them, but no deeper than this near much. So a car can get through anyway.
But that's not the river that's flooded.
No, oh, that flows into the river. Mm-hmm. We call that a brook. B-R-O-O-K, brook. That runs into the river. All the ditches about here, they run into that river, and the river runs into King's Lynn, if you've heard talk of that. Yes, all the ditches run into King's Lynn from here. Yeah.
Then you said that there was a lot of snow one time. Were the winters different then?
Well, now you talk about snow. You know where you come through Cummerton? That was 6 foot deep. And all the main road on the main Sneats Road and Huntington Road, well, I had 50 men with me clearing on it. And I can tell you the first man who got through on the road I was, a man named Hooley, if you ever talk of him. He used to be a big financier, he did. Yeah. Yeah.
Were they
1920s
or whatever?
Yes, it would be then, but not about that time, yeah. But I was working all Christmas Day, Boxing Day as well. Clearing the snow, let traffic get by, you see. I think it used to be as deep as that, and we used to cut a track halfway so they'd get through one tour and then turn around and do the other half when he got it done. I've been out, 11 o'clock at night with a snow plough. Yes, I am. Yeah.
But you usually worked 7 days a week?
Six.
Not Saturdays.
You used to knock off, yes.
Monday,
Saturday, Tuesday, yes. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Okay. You used to knock off 1 o'clock. Mm-hmm. On the farm, I used to work 6 to 6. Yeah.
Did you come to have your dinner at home when you worked on the road?
No.
Not
once in 12 months. I used to go here 12, 15 miles away from here. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, yeah. What did they grow when you were a little lad? What did they grow in the fields here?
Wheat. Barley, oats, clover seed, sandfoin seed. That's different what they grow them now, but a lot different, you understand. Now they grow wheat 1 year, beans next year, you understand. Mm-hmm. Well, they'll purchase wheat 7 years running on the same fields today. That's how they're going today. And they used to. But if they had 10 coom an acre them days, well, that was wonderful. But now they have 20 today. Now, same as manure. Well, you'll never see no manure about here now. It's all artificial, yeah. You understand? Yeah. Yeah.
Now, were there any butchers in the village?
Yes, one. He was a butcher and a carrier named Chapman. Yeah. Lives up there in that pub he used to. He finished up at Bourne. He went to live there. He was out in his cart there one night. And it was so windy. It blew him out of his cart and broke his neck. That's how he finished up. Yeah. Yeah.
Now, how did he get his pigs and so on?
Well, he used to fetch them.
From where?
Well, where he bought them from, you understand. He might have some off my father. He might have some probably up there. They used to take them up there. Do you want to know how they used to kill them?
Mm-hmm. Well, yes, I want to know it.
He had a big old knife like this. Cut the throat across there. Then he used to have a big old tub with scalding water in it. And as soon as the old pig was done kicking, throwed him in, and then they used to scrape him. I've seen him do hundreds. In them days, mind, they don't do that now, mind you. They sort of shoot them back of the ear. That's how they kill them now. Yeah. And we used to have ploughboy suppers once a year. Mm-hmm. We all used to go around, you know, all these farmers and houses, and they used to have a big supper. I think there used to be 80, 90 people come here at them suppers. This old man chap, and he used to cook all the, used to have lovely, great old Yorkshire puddings, you know, and beef on top. Oh, that used to be lovely. Sing song after done like. Of course, that's all done away with. Yeah.
Going back to the butcher, did he get his beak sometimes from Cambridge?
Very seldom. If they want nobody better, he got any, he had to go there, you understand. But they all used to keep pigs them days. And hens, though you don't see anybody getting hens now, not about here, not poor people anyway. No, I've had pigs myself. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I am. Yeah. And I'll tell you what, the last two pigs I had, my wife used to boil a lot of potatoes up, you know, and help me out buying the food. I sold the pigs, and I got a new suit out on profit. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Now, were there any horse keepers here?
Yes. They're all dead, though. Mm-hmm. One used to be named Harry Dodson. One used to be named Pete Lindsay. One used to be named Bill Collett. One used to be named Benny Rogers. There were five, I think, horsekeepers in this place. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And on what did they feed their horses, do you know?
On oats, chaff, mangles, and hay at night. Used to what they call rack 'em up last thing at night with hay. Yeah. Yeah.
Did you call mangoes
versals? That's right. That's right. Yeah.
Now, were there a lot of cows here too?
Yes, I should think. There was the best part of 40, I should think, perhaps more. One time a day. Now, you won't find one. Now, you know, in this village, a gentleman used to live down Torf Manor. He told me he'd been in every county there was in England, but he'd never been with some nice lanes as in this village, because they lay over this way. They all bring themselves out to church. Was some lovely lanes around there, if they was, you know, looked after properly, because there's a lot of people using now. Yeah. Now, there's a path up there. Well, you can't see as you're standing there, sitting there now. On a Sunday night, there used to be more people come down that path to go to this church. And what they get in there now, that's just one parish, Celticut. The path's still up there now. But I'm going to take a lady up there one is here night, fine night, because she's never been through there. She's a lady. Well, she does a lot of walking. She's always up here, you know, all of that. But she, I don't know what she is. She's in a ladies' college at Cambridge, but she's got her own secretary and that, so I don't know what she is. But she takes all these year old pathways, you understand, and she'll walk them. She always comes up here and asks me. She takes me out for garden parties, you know, when the garden's open. I'm going out on the 14th. She's come back Saturday. She's been up and up the north of England. I mustn't tell you too much about that. It's a college called New Hall. All lady students, you understand?
Yeah.
All lady students, yeah. Yeah.
Now, is the church same as it was when you were?
Well, yeah, well, practically, anyway. The seats, everything that like that. Of course, I think it's been decorated a bit more inside, but the church is still there. It's a very pretty church, but it ain't very old. I think a place called Barton, where you come through, I think that's the oldest church in Cambridge here, where you come through. Yeah, this is a very pretty church. Yes, very pretty. Yes.
What play? Games?
Cricket. Nearly all cricket. Sometimes we used to play football, you know. We never had a... Well, they got a football team in now, but they weren't in them. There's only cricket. Yeah, cause I used to be captain, I was secretary, and I was everything else. Cricket.
Where did you play then?
Well, once in Tibbetts Meadow, once in Canners Meadow, and once in Chapel Close. Three different places we played. Yeah. We played 11 matches 1 year and won 10 of them. And we played a big team from Cummerton because they wanted a bit of beat in them days. I went on bowling, the old captain. He got whiskers he had. The first ball I give him, he knocked it in the boundary. The next one I give him, he just played it. I called one of the blokes, I said, look, I'm going to give him a full pitch. I sent his wickets flying. I tell you what he come and said to him. He said, Bert, he said, you'll never do it again. I knocked his wickets flying. Yeah. I played on Park at Spies, I played on there several times. And most of them college grounds. Yeah. Yeah.
Now, did you do any singing in the pubs?
Poor man.
Because you said you...
I did.
Yes, you said you are.
If I got up and sing a song, I had a job and get down again. I went up at Longstow Hall once. There's a gentleman there named Captain Briscoe. He gave a big doings there one night for all the army chaps that would have been in the army. British Legion. Well, I think there were 400 or 500 of them up there. Well, they got me up on the stage and I had a hell of a job to get off. I sung 5 songs there forever I'd get off again. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I
had a lovely... So did my mother, just the same. Yeah. And I could sing a little bit of tenor and a little bit of treble and all like that. When I was singing these songs, they all got lovely choruses. If I got them on the swing, I used to join in with the tenor then. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Can you remember how you got letters to Toft when you were born?
Well, when I was a boy, there used to be a mail cart come through here. He used to blow his horn when he come up here to let people know he was about. And he used to bring medicine for different people and he used to leave that at a certain place. Well, I was only a boy then. Yeah, and I'd tell you he come from Caxton, and I'd tell you his name, Frank Baker. I used to drive in, mail car, yeah.
Was there a post office too then?
Yes, down the bottom there. A man named Dixon used to keep it in them days.
So it's not the same building?
No, that's down the road here, that is.
He left the letters there.
There's some on them there, and some on them we used to leave at this pub up here in them days.
And who delivered them to different houses then?
Oh dear, now you're asking me something. I don't know whether I can answer that one. I know when the mail used to bring them around when that started, I know he used to live them then, but I can't recollect that who used to deliver them when the mail cart used to bring them. You know, I can't.
Well,
You beat me there. You know. Well, I used to have what they call reaping machines.
Well,
reapers. They simply cut the corn and put it out in little bundles. And they used to tie it. Well, then they used to be in the harvest time at one farm there. There used to be ten men with scythes. You know what they are, don't you? Scythe. What you mow corn with, you, don't you?
No. Describe them.
Well, the corn would be standing up and they'd swing a scythe like this here. There'd be a woman behind to tie it. Mm-hmm. You see? My old mother used to go out every year. All women used to tie for these here old men. And that's how they used to. They all used to have a barrel of beer and then pay for it when they got done harvest. That's how they used to go on, yeah. And they used to stack all the corn. Now you don't see a stack in the village because they're all combines, you see. Thresh it straight out of the field. Yeah, that's how they go on now. And it takes them all the time to get done now. Yeah. Yes.
Did women do any cleaning then?
Gleaning. Mm. Yeah. My old mother used to go up. Well, they all used to go. They used to glean all this here corn. And when the threshing engine used to come, they used to take it round the farm and get it threshed. Well, then they used to go away from there to Cambridge to make into flour. Well, then they used to have enough flour to keep them all the winter time. That's how they used to go on them days. Yeah. Yeah, and they used to get a leg of pork, you know what that is?
Yeah.
Put it up the chimney. Let it smoke there, pram. That's how they used to go on in them days. Yeah.
That is good.
Yeah. They used to have a big old chimney, you know. This one won't be no good. They used to have a big old chimney. There'd perhaps be 5 or 6 hams hanging there. Smoke, what they call smoked ham. And very good too, I'll tell you. You knew what you was eating then, you don't know. No.
Yes, the ploughs.
I went to a garage last night with my pal. He's a farmer. He's got a lot of old implements, this here garage man is. Well, he wants to buy a wooden plough. So my farmer pal said, well, you'll never get one. He said, I don't know where you're going to find one now. But they used to have wooden ploughs in the winter, iron ploughs in the summer. And they used to take about a 6 or 8 inch furrow, what they call a furrow. That's what they used to do. And well, then they got to a double furrow plough, and that was called the kangaroo. That's the name of that plough. Yeah.
The same as the animal, is it?
No. That was called a kangaroo.
Kangaroo.
Yeah.
Yes, but isn't there an animal called?
Yes, kangaroo? I think there is. Yeah. You go up Bedford in the Duke of Bedford State, you'll see some up there. Mm-hmm. I was up there last year. Yes, they call this kangaroo, you see, the plough. Yeah. Well, then, the binders come about here then. They cut the corn and tied it into what they call sheaves. Now, I can take you the first binder ever come in this village in the very same field where that started working. And I can tell you the name of that binder. It was called a deering. Yes, it was.
When was it about?
Oh dear, I was about 15, 16 years old then. Yeah. And the man what had it named Creek. That was his name. Yeah. Yeah.
Now, what about steam ploughs?
Well, you've got a job find them. Now, I know where there is some. I passed them last night in a yard. Well, there used to be one engine. He'd be one end of the field, and the other one would be the other end. Well, they'd have a big rope, steel rope, and they'd pull this here plough, you know, backwards and forwards. I'd get up one plough, up to one engine, and then this engine back here would pull the plough around again, and why that's how they used to go. Steam ploughs, yes. Of course, they could go down there as deep as you like. Yeah. And them days, they used to put wheat in after beans. Mm-hmm. And they never used to plough that only about 2 inches deep. But with a wooden plough, they'd go down there 6 inches deep. But you never want to put wheat in very deep. It'd only be about 2 inches. Now, I was talking to a gentleman last night in here. He went on some big estate yesterday morning. There's wheat on a field there. It's never been ploughed up for 5 years. They get the crop off. They have something to go along here, cut a little ridge out, and then the drill comes along and that falls in there. So he was telling me about it last night. Yeah.
Any street lights here?
No, single one. They ain't been up here above 2 or 3 years. Not street lights. Not about here. Electricity's been on longer. No, I think it was about 2 years when they put the lights on here. Yeah.
Before electricity, what kind of lamps did you have?
Nothing, door.
Oh, yeah. No paraffin lamps?
No, you got to find your own way about then. Yeah.
But in houses you had paraffin lamps.
Where?
At home.
Oh, in the house. Oh, yeah. I had paraffin lamps in there. Yes. I don't know how many years the electricity's been on here, ever so many years now, anyway. But that cooker I got in that kitchen, and the kettle, I've had that ever since the electricity come on. I don't know how many years, that's ever so many years now, anyway. Yeah.
Now, how could you find your way when it was so dark and no light?
Well, there's an old cat find his way about noise. There's an old fox finds his way. But I'll tell you what, now we got so used to going out there, you see, with the lights all on the night, because it's like daytime, ain't it, nights now. Well, that light over there and several lights there a few weeks back when everything was wrong in the government, they had turned the light out and it was terrible about here. There was people used to come here, fall down them steps, you know, in them days. Yeah. Yeah.
Can you remember the first bus coming?
Yeah.
What was it like?
It was a red one. And I'll tell you the man's name. His name was Piper. He come from Longstow. Well, then there was another firm from Cambridge come along called the O'Toner. Well, then there was another firm took them over and they called the Eastern Counties, where you come on today. Yeah. I should think they tell me from Saturday to Saturday, up and down here, there's about 40 or 50 buses. First one gets up here about 20 past 7 in the morning, first one does. Then there's two more firms run buses up here, but not every day. There's one come from Burwell, and the other one comes from Ilton. They run up here, I think the Burwell bus comes Wednesdays and Saturdays. That's all, about two trips that does. Yeah.
But these first buses, they came only once a day, didn't they?
That's about all, yeah, once a day then.
Cambridge.
That's from Cambridge, yeah.
How many passengers did
they take? Well, they took a nice lot, but as very often these buses go up here now, ain't got nobody in them. Now, when I go to Cambridge, I generally leave there at 10 past 12. Get home here just for one. Well, that's packed, that bus is. And you perhaps see them go up here in the afternoon, ain't got nobody in. Especially half past four to quarter four. Yeah. I'll tell you what else I can recollect. I can recollect the trams running in Cambridge streets.
Really?
Yeah.
When was that?
Oh, when I was a blooming boy. And I can tell you where they used to keep the horses and the trams. East Road, Cambridge. That's where they used to keep them.
What road?
East Road. Well, it's called New Market Road now. Yeah. Yes, I can recollect them trams. They used to run away from New Market Road, come up the Senate House. They'd take the old horse off and put him on the other side, and away they used to go again. up station, all places like that. They used to have like tram lines to run on, you understand? Yeah.
And horses pull
them. Yeah, horses pull them, yeah. Once they got started, that was all right. It was a job, you want a good old horse to start, you understand? I think the tram lines used to be, or about as wide as that, I think, right in the middle of the street. Yeah. Yeah.
Now, did you go to Cambridge often when you were?
Well, when I began to feel my feet, I used to go very often. Never missed a Saturday night. Never. Horse good theatre. Said all the chats about here. Yeah. Well, there's nowhere else to go.
But you didn't go when you were a little boy?
No. Later I went down with my mother on the carrier's cart. Oh, she used to take me down sometimes. Yeah.
Did you buy your shoes in Cambridge or did your mother buy your shoes?
Well, she used to buy them. Yeah.
Were there any shoe menders?
Oh, yeah, two. Name Creek, that's all gone in there, ain't it? Name Creek, their name was. Yeah.
Where was his shop?
One was down there, and that's pulled down now. And so is that one up there. You know where that shop is up there?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it used to be just on the side, that shop used to be. The old shoemaker shop, because that's all pulled down. Yeah, I'm sitting there here to see that old man mending shoes and making new shoes too, he used to make. Yeah.
What tools did he have?
Well, he used to have a hammer for one, and then he used to have a big old board, hit this leather on, and he used to have a pair of clamps. Well, you don't know what they are, do you?
Yeah. What are they?
That's where he used to hold the shoe together. He used to come like this here with a point like this and open like this here. And stand on the ground, they used to hold the shoe tight, you see, when he was sewing shoes, mind you. But when they used to nail shoes, they used to have what they call an obinon. I've got one in the barn now, an old one. Yeah. Yeah.
And then he had a knife?
Oh, he had a knife, yeah. I believe I've got one of the old shoemaker's knives in there now, I believe him somewhere. Yeah. And pinchers, a pair of pinchers, and I've got them in there. Yeah.
And they were good shoes.
Oh, I think they was. Well, you wouldn't get a leather now, would you? What do you call leather, would you?
Mm-hmm.
No. I got it. Oh, they're in another place. I got a pair in there. Well, I think they're 30 year old. And I've got my shop now. I had them on this morning, as a matter of fact. Because I've got some better ones. Yeah. And when my old father, I'm going back somewhere now, when he used to go down Cambridge courting, you know what that is, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
He used to wear the same shoes as he worked about in the fields all day, and he cleaned up. He's told me that himself. Well, they did that, and he had one pair of shoes them days. And very often they ain't got two suits. Very often. In them days, they always think one shirt might have two shirts. Well, I was looking at what I call my best shirts. Well, I only counted 17 up there the other day, and I think that's 5 suits of clothes up there, so I was hanging about here. In them days, that was quite different, I'll tell you. They nearly always used to wear hard hats, them days. Yeah.
Were there any sheep?
Yes, there's sheep bed here now. There's more sheep now than there was in them days. Yes, there's always been a few, but there's 2 farmers around there. Well, I see they got 2 or 300 each. More than that now, because the lambs are with them now, you see. Well, they just started killing them lambs off now. They weigh about £20 each. Yeah.
Where were the sheep?
In the meadows. There's some just over there. I was looking out that window and see them this morning down there. Yeah.
Are they the same meadows now than the...
Yes. Same meadows. And all the fields have got names. Now, Mr. Jeffrey was finding out a lot about Top. Well, I've told him all the name of the fields I know. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes, you've got a good memory.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I said, what sort of person is he? Well, he said, she can't talk real good English. He said, she's bringing one of these here. Oh, Christ, I said. Just the other words I said. He said, but you'll find her a very nice lady. That's what he said. Yeah. Yeah. Well, they skated once from Cambridge to Ely, all on the river one time. Yeah. I know a man what done it, named Warboys. Yeah. They used to have skating, you know, in the winter time. People come here miles, you know, for money prize, all like that, when the skating's on. Yeah. There used to be a big place called Lingy Fen. That's where they used to be most of it done then. Yeah.
What were the skates like?
About as long as that. Mm. Not these big long as like they, when they, like I see them in the paper anyway. Yeah.
They were made of steel.
Oh yeah, made of steel.
Can you remember the old wooden skis, skates?
No, I don't think I can them, anyway. That I'll never see them anyway. No wooden ones, I'll see them all with steel. Yeah. Guess it wouldn't be that much for wood, would there?
I've heard that they used to have wooden skis with some iron.
All the skates I've ever seen, they fix on the bottom of the shoe and then straps come over top. That's only obvious, see. Good skating about here, you see, you've got to rely on the floods. You've got to rely on the frost. If there ain't no floods, well, you can't go skating. No. But I think at Lingy Fen, I believe they used to flood that when there was sharp frost, you know. Yeah. But they don't go there now because there's a man named Chivers. You ever talk of Chivers' jam, ain't you?
Yeah.
Well, he owned all that, and he soon put a stop to that when he bought it. Because I think the lady what lives there now is named Pemberton. Well, I know this because she comes here, so I know where she comes from. Yeah. She comes here when the dinners come. You see, take them round very often. Because I had a lady come here the other day, and she said, oh, Bert, she said, I've got a message for you and Mrs. Pemberton. I said, what's she want to know? Well, he said, she promised to take you fox hunting, didn't she? I said, yeah. Well, she said, she never took you, did she? I said, no. Well, she said, she ain't forgot, since she's coming to visit you. But I ain't see her yet anyway. Yeah. If you was to come here tomorrow, there'd be about five or six of them in here. And all go around looking in there just for the grass, see if they're all right, you know. Yeah. Yeah.